here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Welcome everybody to the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast. I'm your host, Dale Luganville. On this week's recap and rant, it's New Year's week, or yeah, I guess you call it that. As I'm recording this, it is New Year's Eve. So hey, woo, if you're here, listen to this, you made it. Another year in the books. On to 2020. Already starting out disappointed. There's no flying cars. I don't know what we're going to do about that. But we do have super light lithium batteries for our flashers now, on ice flashers, and that's almost as good as flying cars. I'm not paid by Amped Outdoors, but I'm telling you guys, if you have a flasher and you're a run and gun fisherman like I am, or even if you're not, whatever, it's just less load. These things are so light. I'm still not used to it. Every time I pick up my Vexlar, I think that I forgot the battery or something. It's so light. It's so nice. I need to replace my batteries on my other flashers for my client's flashers. Definitely. So let's get to the recap. So I originally had planned for this weekend a family Christmas gathering on my wife's side, but the weather and some sicknesses that have been going around conspired to cancel that. And while I love hanging out with my family, I was actually I wasn't mad at it. Let's put it that way. It allowed me to get out because we need next week, a week from, less than a week, because a week from this past Sunday is our first event for Minnesota Made Outdoors, the Ice Fishing Tournament League. So we need to scout as much as we can and pre-fish. So we headed out to Chisago Lake, and amidst questions of ice thickness, I guess, we went and checked. We went slow, drove around, but there was a good, 6 to even 10, 11 inches in some spots. And so we were good there, but we never did just run willy-nilly around the whole lake. You can find... That's the thing with ice. They always say, no ice is ever safe. And that's true. I mean, there's all sorts of different things that can cause ice to be variable. Just a little bit of snow in one spot and not in the other can change the ice thickness by quite a bit. And you could have a crack, and there could be some water going down that crack, and that erodes the ice. And so, you can easily put a wheel in or a whole wheeler, and definitely a pickup truck. I'll leave that for the rant aspect of this week's podcast. But anyway, so we went around and we're eliminating water, basically. You hear that term a lot in tournament fishing, eliminating water. You go to a place that you think, it's almost a gentle euphemism for that, because you're going to a place you think has, that could potentially hold fish. And you go there, and sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. So when it doesn't, you're not like, oh, crap, there's not fish here. Like, all right, well, I don't have to worry about this part of the lake. That is eliminating water. So on tournament day, now you're not left to, I wonder what's over there, or I wonder what's over there, or I wonder what's over there. You're checking off your boxes. You're like, this could potentially hold fish, but during pre-fishing, it did not. I'm not going to waste any time on there. I'm going to concentrate on areas where we found fish. Now, those things can change day to day, so there is no guarantees on that, but it's, you're playing the odds game there. And we covered quite a bit of ice, found a couple good spots that held some better than average gills, but man, we're still kind of stressing out about those crappies. The good news is, and that seems to be the word on the street, unless they're being tight-lipped about it, I don't think anybody really has the crappies dialed in, at least not yet. But yeah, we still have some scouting left to do, so hopefully I can steal away some time. Either, New Year's day, maybe tomorrow morning, I might try to hit the lake, or at some point in time hit the lake tomorrow. And then Saturday morning, for all day Saturday, really. I mean, unless I have clients, I'm going to have to really use every bit of waking daylight to scout. And that's what we were going to do. That was the plan for Sunday. Well, Sunday I had a half day book. I had a half clients half day, and that was awesome. We did really good. So that private lake I told you about, we secured our permission for that, and that was great. And he has a great access all the way down to the lake and out onto the lake, and still that lake holds some really, 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 really good crappies. And it's not that far from the Twin Cities metro area. So if anybody listening would like to get on that, give me a call and book a trip. I can get you out there and get some quality crappies. And you don't have to drive all the way to Red Lake or Bemidji. So anyways, I digress. So I went out with Dave and his son, Charlie. And it was a Christmas gift for Charlie. He was very excited about it. And this kid has got the fishing bug. And I'm going to tell you, he's got the it factor, because I don't know how much experience he has with electronics, as it doesn't sound like they have electronics. No, I know they don't, because Dave asked me, he's like, you know, we talked about like what would be more important, getting a pop-up hub style house, which I had set up with heat and everything. It wasn't that, well, it was raining off and on and misting, and there was a little bit of breeze. It wasn't really that cold, but I do have to remember that I'm in it all the time. I'm a little more acclimated to it, so I didn't think it was that bad. But I did bring the house, we set it up, you know, and I put some holes in there and had the heat going. So, and they did use it, you know, off and on, but we whole hopped around to stay on the fish. But anyway, Charlie, I put that flasher on him and I kind of gave him a quick lesson then, and we caught fish on it, and dude, he just, next thing you know, he's just off on his own sticking fish, and he's telling his dad how to do it, and it was awesome, and he was super excited about it. And so his dad told me that he's very much into fishing, and he wants to, you know, do more fishing in the summer and get into, you know, maybe a school league or something at some point in time. I believe he's 12, so he's got a little ways to go with that, but that's awesome. Dude, that was like the smiles on their face when we got into those crappies. It was a quick morning bite, and then it really kind of dropped off for late morning, but that's pretty typical. But when we first got there, though, they were snapping pretty good, and it was fun. They got some really good ones. I think 12 inches was the biggest one, but for them, that was, you know, they had never caught crappies that good. So that made me happy. Seeing those smiles is what it's all about, the guide life for sure. Got some great pictures out of it and shared those online. That was awesome. So that was pretty rewarding. I really enjoyed that. Hopefully I get to fish them again. So then the second half of the day, the plan was to go to Chisago and continue scouting. My partner, Joel, then calls me. He's like, what are you doing? Are you done? Or call me when you're done. So I called him, and he's like, all right, I want to go fun fishing. I was like, dude, what? We have to scout. He's like, I know, but that lake is frustrating me, and I just need to go somewhere to catch fish. I'm like, okay, so we're going on an adventure. So we go to this lake in Wisconsin, and he's like, I just feel like this spot over here, it should have really good gills in it, blah, blah, blah. So we end up going out there, and not knowing that lake, and you know, I had the wheeler with, but I said, well, let's just walk, because you know, it's been raining, and there's just, it looks crazy unsafe, because there's literally water standing on the ice, and probably freaking all my southern listeners out at this moment, and I get it, I get it. But we walked out there, and the ice was okay, but it varied quite a bit. I mean, a lot, much more on this lake than it did on Chisago, and there's a couple spots that was like, it's probably a good thing I didn't take the wheeler. It probably could have been okay, but it's on that iffy part, and it's, you know, honestly, it's just not worth it. So, and when the ice is like that with little to no snow, it's wet, your sled pulls like it's not even behind you. I mean, it's crazy. So it's not a bad deal. We got ice cleats on, get a good grip, you're fine. I mean, it really was not hard. And we walked quite a ways over to the spot he wanted to check out, drill that out. We're cammering, you know, checking the depth of the XLRs, and we're not really finding anything in the spot we thought he would. So he's like, oh, now what? Now we're getting frustrated, and we go to this other spot. We're not really finding anything there. So like, oh, they must just be basin fish. You know, we weren't finding the weeds that we wanted to find. We like to fish shallow. We like to find weeds, find panfish in the in the shallow weeds, but it just didn't seem to be in the cards on that lake. So we just start working our way out to the basin, get to the basin. Sure enough, start marking fish, start catching fish right away. And looking back on it, what I find hilarious is that we didn't go to Chisago to figure Chisago out because we were getting our ass handed to us. You know, not really ass handed to us, but, you know, we really had to kind of work at it. Drill a lot of holes, do a lot of cammering. And then we go somewhere and do that exact same thing. But whatever, it was fun. We caught a lot of fish. And then as the got later, the crappies really turned on and brought a few home for a meal. And so it was kind of fun. Sometimes it is nice to just do a reset, even if, I mean, the whole reason Joel and I got into the tournament ice fishing is because that's how we fish for fun. So it might not make sense to anybody else, but it makes sense to us. And because there was no pressure of having to succeed other than our own personal egos, it's a little vacation, and you got to take a reset day for sure. And I was going to do that Monday. I planned on going out again Monday morning to scout, but it was still snowing. The roads were, you know, not the greatest. And these are all excuses. I'd fully admit right now they're excuses. I basically got lazy. However, I did need just a day of like doing nothing. My legs were sore from work and from walking on the ice, and mentally just tapped out, and I was just getting kind of running myself ragged. So self-care is important, you know, whether it's tournament fishing or guiding or whatever your occupation is. I don't have to tell you guys, you burn yourself, you know, you burn that candle on both ends, and eventually it catches up to you. So it was good to just, and usually when I have a day like that, if I get lazy and don't do anything, I start feeling really like stir crazy and lazy, but that never set in. So it's like I really needed that rest, and it was a good thing. But now it's crunch time, so now I'm rested up, I'm reinvigorated, I'm ready to hit it, figure it out, and hopefully have a good showing this Sunday. So if you are not already following me on Facebook, you can follow me, Dale Luganville, on Facebook. Also on Full Scale Outdoors on Facebook. And then Full_Scale_Outdoors on Instagram. I'm on Snapchat. Also, the other thing, on Go Wild app, if you haven't done that, check that out. They sent me, or I send everybody, just a little banner on top of the app. When you open it up, it says your year in review, and it has all the hours that you logged on in the outdoors, and you know how many upvotes your post got, and this, that, and the other thing. A little stats thing. It's kind of neat. And I got to do a better job of logging my hours, because, I mean, on podcast alone, outdoor podcast listening alone, should have been way higher than what I had logged in. But that's fine. It's a really neat thing. I think everybody listening to this actually would get a kick out of the Go Wild app. I am not paid to say that. I just really like it, so... Sorry, drinking my morning coffee. It's not beer, though, so that's something. Anyways, let's see. What else do I got for you? Oh, yeah, that's my New Year's resolution, is just to log more on the Go Wild app, because I just don't really do New Year's resolutions, but it's a good goal anyways. So there we go. Let's get to this week's rant. I'm going to keep it in the ice fishing realm. We're going to kind of cover two things. One is ice safety. We just had here in Forsyth, I just saw like 2 days ago, there was a notification or a post by the Forsyth Police Department that a truck pulling a wheelhouse went through on Forsyth. Now, try not to be too harsh, but dude, if you're listening to this, sorry, bro, but you're a moron. That we were wondering if ice was safe enough for a wheeler in the same general area, and you got a full-size pickup truck out there with a wheelhouse? Bro, not smart. I mean, there couldn't have been 11 inches out there. I mean, I haven't been on Forest Lake, but there's no way that it has more ice than where we were at. And I've been seeing vehicles going through all over the state, and most of them have been in, like, kind of the southern two-thirds of the state, on where there shouldn't be trucks driving. Like, I don't understand. And this happens every year, you know. And then what ends up happening is those casual observers see this, and they just think all of us fishermen are morons. And, you know, I get it from the wife all the time. Like, oh, we're driving on. Like, oh, is the ice safe enough? Yeah, it's like, if I'm going out there, I don't go out on a whim. I check it and, you know, always proceed with caution. You know, like I said earlier in the podcast, ice is never 100% safe. Things can happen. You have to pay attention. You know, you look at everything. If there's snow on the ice, is that snow wet over there? Is there possibly a crack? Can I go around it? Is there an ice heave? Is there, you know, if any place you just see the ice kind of lift up for no reason is something to check. That doesn't mean it's always bad, but you should probably check it because it could be. The good thing is when you get to a nice long sheet of ice and it's really even and it's consistent and you know one spot is good, generally speaking, you're going to be good anywhere that ice looks like that. So when you're out and about, you got to pay attention to details and just learning to read ice is just as important as what color jig you want. You know what? Actually, it's more important than what color jig you have on, because what good is it if you fall through the ice or if you can't get to the ice, or, you know, you can't fish? You can have all the best jigs in the world, but if you can't get out on the lake safely, what good is it? So pay attention to those things, you know. Just, is it thick enough? Don't just stop paying attention at that point. You know, how does the ice look? Is it clear? Because good clear ice, a lot of times, especially if there's no snow on it, it actually looks like the sketchiest ice from a distance because it basically looks like water. But that good, clear, glass-like ice that you can see right through, that is the best ice. That's the hardest, clearest ice. So pay attention. Is it white and cloudy? You know, that if there's enough of it, sure, it's fine. But that's not really all that usually that strong of ice. You know, look at the cracks, and, you know, when there's a pressure crack that goes through, you can see, that'll kind of tell you, you can just look and see how thick the ice is by how deep that crack is without having to drill a hole. Those are things. Is there a lot of bubbles in the ice? That could be evidence of an underwater spring in the area. So just keep, always pay attention to what you're looking at, and you file those things in your little bag of tricks, because as it pertains to fishing, I have found sometimes you have some clear ice, especially in really clear water, and then you have that cloudier ice or even little patches of snow. You can use that snow and that cloudier ice to your advantage. The fish can't see you walking around up there, and actually use it as like shade and cover if there's not weeds or, you know, other kind of cover available for them. So these are all, you know, just in general, when you're out and about fishing or hunting or whatever it is you're doing in the outdoors or pursuing, you got to pay attention to the little details. Those will help you put the whole puzzle piece together. You know, drilled holes. Did anything come up? Little bits of weeds come up in the water? Were there bugs in the area? You know, I mean, every little detail that you can, it's just not as brainless as walking out, drilling a hole, putting your tent up and starting to fish. You know, if you want to be a better fisherman, and I get it, we're not all driven to, you know, be tournament fishermen or whatever, and you just go out there and relax. If you catch fish, you don't. If you do, great. That's fine. I'm not saying like you're any kind of lesser fisherman or anything, but if you are somebody that wants to improve, you know, you're going to the ice shows and you're reading all the articles, you know, that's kind of something that a lot of people don't really talk about, are those details that aren't necessarily directly, but yet are directly related to your success on the ice. So just always be cognizant of those other factors. You know, the time of day, temperature, barometer, those are all the ones that everybody talks about, but they don't really talk about other little things. Anything that stands out of note, water clarity, you know, like I already said, the bugs, something casting a shadow, anything like that. It can be anything you might think is a benign fact, but it probably feeds in one way or the other. So that's a two-part rant. I'm going to get into a different thing just in general is ice fishing. Again, in the vein of keeping us in the good graces of those casual observers, guys, you got to pick up your trash. Every year, I mean, Facebook is loaded with the pictures, and I've been guilty of posting them myself. And you don't know what to do. You go out there and you just see shit laying all over the ice. You're like, what in the fuck, dude? I mean, last year there was a whole chair out there. I found empty propane bottles just laying on the ice. You know, empty chew tin cans. You know, how do you, you're pissing in your own pool, right? When you go out fishing, is that what you want to see? Is that, I mean, if you went there to a virgin stretch of water and there was trash everywhere, how would you'd be like, oh, this place sucks. But then on your way out, you leave all that trash for somebody else. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And then if there's somebody out there that is not a nice fisherman, is not a sportsman, not an outdoorsman, and they're just taking their dog for a walk and they see all that trash, well, you give everybody a bad name doing that. I mean, they just think everybody's a backwoods redneck hillbilly, you know, ice fisherman, doesn't give a shit about water quality or the environment or anything else. And maybe you don't. Maybe you don't give a shit, but I'm telling you, you should, because I know that that's not where you want to fish. You don't want to fish in trash. Nobody does. So pick up your shit. If you brought it out, take it back with you. The other thing I'll say is, those of us that have the time, pick it up. If somebody didn't do that, just pick it up. Throw it in your sled and just take it off the lake. I mean, it sucks because you're like, why do I have to do this? You know, it's that whole kid thing, you know, and as parents, if you have kids, you're going to understand this when you're like, hey, clean that up. I didn't do that. Little Billy did. Did I ask who did it? I just said clean it up. So you got to clean it up. And hopefully people don't take advantage of like, well, I can leave this here because somebody will come up behind me and clean it up for me. I don't really think that's what's going to happen. But even if that is what happens, who cares? You know, take a little bit of trash off the lake. Everybody's going to have a better experience. Keep the waters clean. It's just more aesthetically pleasing to be out there and not seeing shit all over the ice. Like, it's unbelievable. Also, guys, don't throw your minnows in the lake. I'm still seeing people dumping their minnows back in the water. A, it's against the law in Minnesota to do that. B, you know, I know I go on my diatribes of spreading invasive species and stuff, but it's not, there's no reason to, like, not try to not spread them. And don't worry about it. It's not going to waste. The crows will love you for it. It'll pick up all your dead fat heads and your suckers. It's not a big deal. So I wasn't planning on adding that to my rant, but there it is, and there you have it. So that's what I got today, or this week for you. Short and sweet. Yeah, so coming up this weekend, the first event. Follow along. I'm sure we'll go live at the weigh-in for sure. We'll go Facebook Live. If you haven't already, follow Minnesota Made Outdoors on social media as well. I'd appreciate that. Give them some love. And, yeah, if you want to go out and catch some nice crappies, some nice panfish, let me know. I can put you on some fish. Give me a buzz, 612-209-5438. All right, everybody, that is this week's The Last Recap and Rant, the last podcast episode of any kind right here from Full Scale Outdoors Podcast in the year 2019. On to 2020, in an election year full of all sort of bullshit, I'm sure. So you can expect some of my rants to probably touch on that politically. But whatever. Make sure you get a hold of me on Facebook or Instagram. Send me a message, whatever, about anything, subject you'd like me to talk about, guests you want me to try to get on the show, anything. Like, it could be anything like that. So with that, I'm going to leave you with this. Whatever your passion is, follow that full scale.